I knew an elderly Thai couple who came to the Dhamma late in life and became so dedicated to the practice that John Swett had the husband become the lay chairman of the monastery up in suburban L.A. They were new to the whole idea of monastery life, monastery etiquette. And one Sunday, as people were leaving after having come to make merit, the wife stood at the doorway and thanked them. And one of the people went out and said, "Well, I didn't do this as a favor to you. I came to make merit." And it's important to maintain that distinction. The Buddha recognizes that some of our relationships in life are reciprocal. There's a whole sutta in the Dikkhanikaya devoted to the proper ways in which a teacher treats a student and the student responds. Parents treat their children, the children respond. People give support to contemplatives and the contemplatives respond. There's a reciprocity there. The big one, of course, is your relationship to your parents. You owe them a huge debt. As the Buddha said, you can't repay them. Simply by looking after them, looking after their physical needs. The ideal way to repay them is to get them interested in the Dhamma. If they're not generous, influence them in such a way so they become generous. If they're not virtuous, influence them in a way to become more virtuous. Of course, that's hard. Parents don't like being taught by their children. But it gives you a sense of how big the debt is and how much you have to repay. Whereas in making merit, there's no sense of indebtedness. There's no reciprocity. You give gifts. You give forgiveness. You give your knowledge. You give your energy. Make a gift of the Dhamma. Not to get anything back from the people that you're giving it to. Same way with the precepts. You give the protection of not harming other people, not because they haven't harmed you, because you're trying to develop something of independent value from within. And of course, your thoughts of goodwill. Sometimes we're told we extend goodwill to others because they deserve it, but the Buddha never spoke in those words. We extend thoughts of goodwill because it's good for us. Makes us happy. Provides us with protection. Protects us from having ill will, which would then lead us to act in unskillful ways. So when you think about your reasons for being generous, you do think about the rewards that will come. But not that you're necessarily hoping that the person who receives your generosity is going to be the person who gives things back to you. Even in the lowest motivations that the Buddha recognizes for being generous, i.e. hoping that you're going to get it back in a future life, it's not the case that you want that person who receives it to be the person who delivers it back. It's more impersonal. You create good karma, the good karma will take care of you. But you want to raise your sights, because the quality of your motivation raises the quality of your generosity. When King Pasenadi came to see the Buddha and asked him, "Where should a gift be given?" The Buddha's first response was, "Give where you feel inspired or you feel that it would be well used." But then the king asked further, "Where, when a gift is given, does it give the best results?" The Buddha said, "Now that's a different question." With that question, the king was bringing things into the level of skill. How are you skillful in being generous? Part of the skill is choosing good people to receive your gifts, people who you feel will use them well. Because remember, what makes you happy? The sense that you've given a gift and the person who received it has enough appreciation to want to use it well. There are times when you feel, well, so-and-so is poor. feel sorry for them. I'd like to see them have something. But then when they go and they buy alcohol with your gift, it doesn't make you happy. To choose good people, people who will use your gift well or take care of it. Choose something that's appropriate for their needs. And maintain the right attitude as you're giving, that something good will come from this. In terms of the motivation, the Buddha says higher motivation than wanting to get that gift back in a future life would be simply that giving is good, both in the sense that it's a virtuous thing to do, part of being a human being, with a wider sense of your mind, a more expansive sense of your mind and your heart. A higher motivation, the Buddha said, is saying these people don't have what I have. It's not right that I don't give them something. Higher than that is giving makes the mind serene. Just feel good giving the gift. The highest is when giving it doesn't expect anything in return. This is the giving of a non-returner. So we're working in that direction. Not thinking in terms of, if they give to me, I'll give to them. But simply, I need to develop the quality of generosity in my heart, primarily for my own sake. This is one of those ways in which looking after your true happiness spills out into other people in a good way. A lot of times Theravada is accused of being selfish. But if it's selfish to give with a sense that makes my mind serene, what would an unselfish gift be? The gift of a non-returner. Very few people are on that level yet. So work on that. That attitude, it makes the mind serene. And see the gift as something that comes from within, not in response to someone else's goodness, to you, simply because you feel inspired that you would like to give. That's your gratitude. It's interesting that the Buddha's ideal way of showing your gratitude for your parents is basically teaching them to look for goodness in a way that's not reciprocal. In other words, making them think in terms of wanting to engage in acts of merit. In other words, encouraging them to produce goodness from within themselves. This is the whole nature of the path. As Ajahn Fung liked to say, no one hired us to be born, no one hired us to come and practice. We have the right to choose. This is our free choice. To recognize where generosity is reciprocal, in the sense of doing favors for one another. And it's part of human society. But realize that merit is something else. In Thai, they make the distinction. Punya, merit, they pronounce as bun. And the word for a favor, kun, something else. And people who are experiencing the Dhamma make a clear distinction between the two. And they're both good. And if we didn't have reciprocity in our relationships in general, life would be really hard. When you want to make merit, that's something above and beyond. It's interesting that when the Buddha introduced the topic of karma, those are the two areas that he focused on. One, generosity. Two, debts of gratitude. It's because we have freedom of choice. That generosity means something. If we had no freedom, the fact that you gave something to someone else would have been forced on you by the stars or whatever influences are coming from the past. It would have no virtue at all. This is why the Buddha said, when he introduced karma, there is giving, there is sacrifice. In other words, these things have meaning. Then he went on to say, there are parents. You might think, well, that's obvious. But what he meant is that your parents have a special place in your heart, should have a special place in your life. They've done so much for you that you owe them something in return. They've done you the favor of raising you, teaching you language, giving birth to you. You owe them something in return, because they had the choice not to give birth to you. And if they did give birth to you, they had the choice not to raise you. If you've ever been a parent, you realize how much goes into the first couple of years of a child's life. But they had the choice not to do that. So the fact that they did do that means you owe them a lot. So have a sense of where you have reciprocal duties. And have a sense where you're giving freely. In other words, nobody hired you. Keep the distinction clear. Here at the monastery, primarily to make merit. There is a reciprocal relationship between the teacher and the student. But above and beyond that, that's where the merit lies. During my early years as a monk, Ajahn Phuong had me memorize the Divine Mantra as a part of my meditation. And my first rains, I had to go back to Wat Sokaram. And I found that people would come to Wat Sokaram and they would ask monks to chant the Divine Mantra for their relatives who were sick on the deathbed. And so I volunteered. Until one day I heard a woman saying, the monks here at Wat Sokaram are nice and cheap. You don't have to pay them that much to get a good chant like this. Go to other monasteries in Bangkok, you have to pay them a lot more. And the fact that there was that reciprocal attitude towards something like this made me stop. The idea that I was doing this because I was getting paid ruined the whole thing. So I stopped volunteering. So keep the distinction between the two very clear. When you're making merit is one thing. When you're doing a favor, that's something else. But realize that both sides of the human transaction, both sides of human relationships, have their value. Simply that making merit is a more internal affair, a private affair, but where you want to generate goodness from within, totally independent of what other people have done. Like, do take into consideration when you've been generous to someone and they abuse the generosity. You might not feel inspired anymore. That's your choice. That's your call. But otherwise, the goodness of generosity, the goodness of virtue, goodness of goodwill, these are things you want to generate from within. Have your own independent source inside. Because if your goodness depends on the goodness of the world, well, look at the world around you. There's a lot that doesn't inspire goodness at all. But you have to maintain the attitude, well, you're not doing it for them. You're not doing it to pay anybody back. You're doing it because, as the Buddha said, acts of merit is another word for happiness. And you're taking to heart that question, what when I do it will lead to my long-term welfare and happiness? And this is the answer.